Hello and welcome to Unprofessional. I am Dave Wiskus, joined as always by the amazing Jamie Newberry.
Wow, that was so kind. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Well, I haven't seen you in forever or heard you, spoken to you in forever.
It has been forever.
It has been a long time.
Wow. Well, I know we'll talk about that more later, but we have an amazing guest with us today. Would you like to introduce our guest today?
No.
No?
Yes, I'll do it. Fine. Gun to my head. Our guest today is Brian Iris.
Hey, good to be here.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Brian, you are, explain yourself. Tell the people who you are.
Who are you?
What's
who
your deal?
Sent you?
I was getting ready to have to explain myself. I work at Tumblr on the iOS team over there. I've been there for about 2 years, and I'm guessing if anybody knows me, that's where it's from.
Yeah, big update just came out.
Yeah, one of our biggest...
Your picture in The Verge.
Nice.
That was an interesting picture. I said, I may not be the best looking guy in that picture, but I definitely have the best beard. So, it was with David Karp, the CEO, and also Peter Vidani, our creative director.
It was one of those moments where I'm just reading an article that somebody linked to, and I saw your picture. I'm like, hey, I know that guy.
Yeah, it's kind of how I felt too.
It's got to be a surreal moment.
Well, it looks a lot different in the photo than it felt in the room, I guess, for a lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah, that typically happens. I don't think I've ever done a photo shoot or anything like that where the results were what I expected.
You do a lot of photo shoots, Dave?
I've done a few.
How about you, Brian? A lot of photo shoots?
No, far from it.
Yeah. Just curious.
And you, Jamie? Surely you've done more than your fair share of photo shoots.
I've done maybe a couple in my life, but not really a lot.
I've done a handful. I did one while I was in Ireland. Ben McCarthy took some shots of me, which I'm using one of them as my speaker bio photo now, which is
what
I really wanted.
I need a new bio photo. I need to, sync up with that guy.
He's doing this thing. He wants to be like a photojournalist for our community.
That's awesome.
Like Mac and iOS developers and podcasters, like all of these people who you would normally see their work or listen to them talking, but you never really see them, their faces.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Humans of New York, but for developers and designers and podcasters.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I think it's a really cool idea. And so he probably will want to sit down with you at some point and take some pictures.
Sweet. I hope we'll be back in the States next summer.
So if he asks you to do that, don't be creeped out.
No, I wouldn't be. I love that guy. He's awesome.
He's a good guy.
You want to have your photo taken too, Brian? Again?
Yeah. I mean, I had to have my photo taken I wrote an article for the Loop magazine, Jim Dalrymple's iPad magazine. Mm-hmm. And I had a similar situation where I needed a photo, but I didn't really have a headshot, just kind of lying around. So I had my friend Justin Willette, who was working with me at Tumblr at the time. He's a pretty accomplished photographer. And I asked him, and his process was, we just kind of went for a walk around the street, and every once in a while he would just stop like mid-sentence and just like snap a few photos. It worked out pretty well, but it was pretty, I'm sure anyone that saw us thought we were both insane.
Well, that was here in the city, right?
Yeah, it was just right around our office.
Yeah, nobody noticed.
It's hard having your photo taken. That's why I've had that stupid one with the hat that I have on my, my Twitter avatar. That's the photo. That's the photo of me that I have. That's it. I don't have any of those. I took that myself with my computer, But yeah, I don't like having my photo taken.
Yeah, I don't
it's
either.
Terrible.
I feel like there's not enough. This is going to sound terrible, but I don't have a lot of pictures of me.
Yeah,
and sometimes I think maybe do I just not have friends? What's going on here? Why are there no pictures of me like with other people unless I'm at a conference?
I think though, unless you take them yourself, why would you have them? Other people have them, and I don't know. Maybe unless you ask, people aren't like, oh, here's a photo of you that I took.
There's all these apps for sharing photos in groups, and the use case is always presented as you're out with your friends and you're all taking pictures and you can share them with each other, and I'm just thinking like I don't do that.
I don't do that either unless somebody asks me, which does happen occasionally. Do you have any photos of me or did you get any photos of that thing that we were all at or whatever? Like that happens from time to time and I'll be like, oh yeah, here they are. But I have to tell you, I don't ask for photos of myself because I don't think I really want them. But then you find yourself in sort of a pickle when you need one for, bios or articles or whatever. Like Brian was saying, he needed one for a thing he wrote. Yeah, that comes up periodically, and I just go to that one with the hat every time. I'm so sick of that photo.
Well, Dave, it sounds like your friend has found his niche.
Yeah.
That's it.
He's the guy at the party taking pictures, which that used to be like the lame guy, but now it's sort of a cool place to be.
Used to be the guy from American Beauty filming the bag floating around.
Yeah, that it was guy. Like the creepy guy in the corner taking pictures. You can't enjoy the party if you're trying to document the party, but I don't know. I think we've hit an age where, one, with digital photography, you can just take so many pictures that you're not as concerned about getting the right one. You can kind of have fun with it and let it flow a little bit differently. But two, I think it's just that we all have grown to accept that that's part of our culture. The cameras are so prevalent that we're okay with, you're not
Everyone
an outcast if you're
one.
Taking pictures.
Yeah, it's true.
I guess once you're wearing Google Glass, the problem of being able to simultaneously enjoy the party and document it will go away a bit.
Yeah, everybody will be creeped out and on edge all the time.
Until they're not.
We have that to look forward to. So my headshot for a long time, if you want to call it a headshot, it was my Twitter avatar, that bedroom eyes selfie, Instagram selfie that I use on Twitter. And I needed a new picture. Because that once that was printed in the pages of Macworld magazine, I realized I really needed a legit picture of me.
Yeah, see, I feel that way. Yeah. Oh, enough about pictures. I can't talk about pictures anymore of ourselves. It's been a while since we talked, Dave.
This is your move. This is totally your move. Instead of just changing the subject or like moving on to something else, you just like you declare, I can't do this anymore.
I can't do that one. We talked it into the ground, I think.
You've rage quit topics.
That's it. I rage
you don't
quit
segue.
Topics. Like, I don't know about segues. Segues don't work for me. Brian, what are you? Yeah. Hi.
Hey.
I've never met you before. So that's a segue. How about that?
Well,
I'm not going to ask you what you ate, though. That's Dave's favorite Jamie rage topic switch. So, yeah.
It is a good one to have in your back pocket.
It's my favorite thing, mostly because I genuinely love food and I'm genuinely curious.
Well, I've had to cut a couple of those out of the show over the last few months. So what'd you guys eat today?
I'm very fascinated with what people choose for lunch and what they do. And it gives me ideas, too.
All right. Well, I had a sandwich and a muffin.
Whoa, I had a sandwich, too. No muffin.
I had a chicken wrap.
Do you have a muffin?
No muffin.
So I win at muffin.
What kind of muffin?
Chocolate. I thought it was blueberry, and so I didn't eat the whole muffin.
Mm.
So I kind of
I've had that surprise before where you think you get a blueberry and it's the chocolate chip.
Yeah, it's just too sugary,
too
sweet,
much sweet.
Rich.
Yes, yeah. I'm with you on that.
I don't like the
blueberry surprise it's chocolate trick. I'm not a fan of this.
The worst is you think you're getting chocolate, but then you get raisins. Like it's an raisin oat brand thing.
Yeah. Yeah, getting chocolate when you didn't expect it isn't quite as bad as not getting chocolate when you did expect it.
Yeah,
I agree with that. That's very true. Yeah, especially if it's raisins. Not a fan of the raisins either. Boy, this is the list of things Jamie doesn't like today. I don't mean to make it that. Sorry.
Stop being so negative, Jamie.
Oof, what is it with me today? Sorry, guys. Brian, this is not normal. I apologize.
We're off our game.
Well,
so long.
That's true. We are off our game. This is the longest I think there's been a gap between recordings of this show.
Really long. I think it's been an entire month, Brian.
It's nuts.
Has it really? Have you guys been putting them out regardless?
Yeah. We missed the 1 week when I was at UL because I am stupid and missed my window to get that up.
But not because we didn't have a show ready. We did have a show ready.
It was just
we had several shows ready.
Just me being dumb.
Nah, it happens.
So
things
we missed
happen.
1 week, the first time we've ever missed a week. But it's okay because we've had weeks where we've done two shows. So yeah, that's okay. So thank you, Guy English, for retroactively filling in that week. But this is it's been about a month since we've recorded, so I haven't talked to Jamie in forever.
You guys are out
and
of
likewise.
Sync.
Yeah, you know, it happens over time. And here you are, Brian.
Do you do anything, Brian, to like stay in touch with friends, people that like live in other cities, like just beyond Facebook or Twitter, but do you call people?
Very infrequently, not that often. Just periodic text messages, I guess, emails, some combination of the two. I do a pretty good job of seeing my friends who live in various parts of New England with relative frequency. But it is tough. Everyone, it's I feel like every year it just gets exponentially harder to schedule anything, which is a shame, but
yeah. And I'm not the sort of, and I think maybe there's a it's different when you're single. Cause I can't, cause I don't know that I would just call up a friend in another city and say, hey, I'm going to come visit. I'd feel weird about that. I would need an excuse. I would need like, hey, I was going to come to your city for this thing and we should hang out while I'm there. Not, I'm going to come visit you. That would be, I wouldn't even know how to approach that. But if I were in a couple, it would totally be a, hey, we're going to come visit. And I've done that. I've had other couples when I was in a couple come visit us and it made perfect sense. But as a single guy, it just doesn't click for me. Hmm. I'd feel creepy.
That's interesting. I've never really thought about it that way. Like the visits of people and things. How do you keep in touch with people? I mean, do you call? Same question that you asked Brian.
I don't call people.
Texts, emails?
I will text and I'll tweet at people. I don't really email much. You know, now that I'm thinking about this, I got to do a better job of staying in touch with people.
Brian, who are the people that you keep in touch with? Who are the people that you do make the effort to text and call or email?
Just all college friends still. Coincidentally, all the people that I ended up living with my freshman year of college, just by virtue of the dormitory lottery system, I suppose, are still all of my best friends to this day.
That's awesome.
And most of us stayed on the East Coast. I went to school in Boston, so a lot are up there in that general vicinity. So it'll usually be one person emailing about 20 other people. Everyone should come to New York this weekend. Everyone should come to Boston this weekend. 5 or 10 people immediately saying they can't. And then a few really wanting to, and then spending the next few weeks peer pressuring the ones who were on the fence. And then it kind of just ends up that a decent enough amount of people will go such that nobody ever felt too awkward about what Dave was mentioning with the kind of one-on-one visits or anyone explicitly reaching out to any other individual person. It tends to just work itself out, I guess.
I think maybe some of my hesitation is that I just don't feel like I'm interesting or entertaining enough to occupy a person's entire week.
Maybe it doesn't have to be for an entire weekend, though.
Or, like, you know, well, if I'm visiting somebody out of state, probably be there for more than one day.
Yeah, I don't usually, you know, I don't think I go anywhere specifically to visit the people. Like, I go to a place usually for a reason, like you were saying, you know, I'm going there for this. Do you have time to grab a drink or coffee or ketchup or whatever?
Ketchup?
Ketchup.
Oh, ketchup.
Yeah, we like to, you know, go out and grab some ketchup. We have those little paper cups full of ketchup. They're like shot glasses, but for ketchup.
That's how you bond with other people. You've got some weird friends.
Oh,
you know what?
Dave,
I take it back. When I was in, before I went to Ireland, I went to Amsterdam for a week to visit friends.
See?
Specifically to just hang out with my Amsterdam friends.
So that happened.
Well, yeah, but there's a lot of them. Well, that sounds like, look at how many friends I have. No, I mean, there's
your time around a little.
It's like, you know, there's like there's enough people that I could kind of bounce around. I didn't feel like I was occupying too much of anybody's time.
Yeah, that's definitely the way to do it. You need some critical mass, and once you have that, it just gets a lot easier.
Yeah, I don't think I could show up at somebody's home and say, I'm staying with you for the weekend, and you have to entertain me and I have to entertain you for the entire time or we're going to hate each other. It feels like there's so much pressure.
The last time I did stay like the weekend with somebody, there was like, I did have some other things to do and that person had some other things to do. So when we were at the apartment at the same time, it was great. We hung out, grabbed dinner one night, but then the other times it was kind of like, you know, we just did our own thing. We even had some work to do and just worked in the same space, but then also left, came and go as we pleased kind of thing. So it was cool because it was no pressure. It was really easy. Are you guys still friends with anybody from high school? Is that's such a long time ago for me? I don't know how long ago it is for you guys, but like, are you friends with anybody from high school still? Did you have friends in high school? It's so quiet.
That was such a great
definitely not as much as I would like to be. Do still catch up with folks from time to time, but definitely not as much as I wish or would have expected a few years ago, especially because I grew up only about 60 minutes from where I live currently. You'd think there wouldn't be that many excuses, but just gets harder and harder over time.
Life gets in the way. It does.
I didn't really have a lot of friends in high school. That sounds terrible.
That sounds sad. It's time for the aw for Dave.
The friends that I had in high school that I considered friends, and I had a handful of people that I was close to, but I don't know, just sort of lost track of them or grew up, grew apart. I don't know. I moved around right after high school. I moved to Missouri for a while and then back to Colorado, and somewhere in that, like, I lost them in the move.
Lost in the move, like, stuff.
Lost some people. It's just that, especially at that age for me, I dropped out and they had either stayed in or they went on to do other things. And so there was a gap between where I was and what I was trying to accomplish and where they were and what they were trying to accomplish. And namely, in that they were probably trying to accomplish anything at all.
Yeah. Nice.
I was happy just to sit around playing video games.
Weren't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now I have one friend from high school that I stay in touch with, and that's pretty much it.
What were your games? What were your video games? Like the big defining of your youth, video games.
You know, I was just watching, of all things, a YouTube video, a playthrough of Shadows of the Empire for Nintendo 64.
That's awesome.
I had it in my head, like I remembered something about that game, and I just had to watch somebody else play it for an hour and a half.
That's fantastic that you did for that long too.
I was like working at the same time, so it wasn't getting my full attention.
How about you, Brian? Yeah. Games?
I was never a huge video gamer, but I do remember playing Star Wars Rebel Assault on like a Gateway 2000 terrible computer with some huge bulky joystick.
Nice.
I remember that pretty vividly. I played a lot of GoldenEye.
Oh, GoldenEye. That was my first Bond experience.
Yeah, mine too. I remember seeing the movie years later, and it was such a bizarre experience seeing the movie version of the game that I was so intricately familiar with.
Did you play the GoldenEye Reloaded for Xbox?
No, I did not.
It's GoldenEye, but modernized. It's the same levels, but with new textures, and they've changed a few things and improved levels, but it's the same, in theory, the same game. It's not nearly as good.
It's not as fun.
No, they redid too much. Had they just made it prettier and everything else was exactly the same, I would have been completely on board.
When you had the original GoldenEye, did you have the Game Genie?
No.
Do you remember what the Game Genie was?
Yeah. I didn't know there was one for Nintendo 64.
Oh, there definitely was. The Game Genie was this, or was it Nintendo 64? Yeah, that's what GoldenEye was on. The Game Genie was this thing that you plugged the game into, and it somehow let you change parts of the game. And
what? How do I not know about the Game Genie?
I have no idea how it worked to this day.
That's pretty crazy. The first one was for the NES, and it was a thing that you stick the gray NES cartridge into this thing, and it had this weird like black plastic flap that came off of it so that you didn't lose the important bit in the NES. And you'd slide it in, and then at that point you could no longer push the game down like you're supposed to, but somehow it still worked.
And you'd hit
the power button, it would come on, you'd enter in the codes, and suddenly Mario would have unlimited lives or whatever. And you'd get Game Pro or EGM, and they would have Game Genie codes.
That's bananas. I don't know how I never knew about this. I loved Nintendo and Nintendo 64. Holy cow, and I never knew about the Game Genie, you guys. I feel gypped.
Don't some of the emulators, the software emulators, have Game Genie emulators built in?
I don't know. I'm going to have to find out, though. That's going to be my big project this holiday weekend.
Hey, Brian, were you, you were like NES era too, right?
Yeah, NES was the first system I ever had. I still remember to this day that getting an... it was an SNES. Yeah, the SNES was the first console I had. And I remember distinctly opening it on Christmas morning and it being, to this day, probably like the most jubilation I've ever had from a single gift.
That is... My boyfriend has that exact story. Like the childhood when they got the Nintendo, they got that for Christmas one year, he and his sister. And seriously, he recalls that as being like the happiest moment in his entire life. I love that story. That's fantastic.
And I'm right there with you guys. I bugged my mom for months. It was probably weeks, but it felt like years. I just kept saying every time I'd write out a Christmas list, I'd say Super Nintendo. She's like, you can't get a Super Nintendo. And then Christmas morning, I got a Super Nintendo. And I don't know if I've ever been that happy.
That's pretty incredible. I love that made so many children's lives happy.
I remember going into the store. It was like a super Target-ish kind of store called Biggs. And I went in the electronics section, they had the Super Nintendo out for display. You could play. And playing Super Mario World when my mom would shop every week. That was the highlight of my week. And I was so desperate to get a Super Nintendo after that.
That's so cool. I don't know. I love these games.
Were you both Nintendo people, or did you veer off into Sega territory for a while?
No, I was all Nintendo. But I started with an Atari, so I'm a little older than y'all there. But
y'all?
Y'all, yep. I don't say that because I'm from Texas. I just like it.
I was Nintendo as well. I'm looking on Wikipedia now, and it looks like the Game Genie equivalent for the Nintendo 64 was actually called the Game Shark.
Whoa.
Game Shark. And then there was also the Action Replay that came later.
In the Wikipedia article for the Nintendo 64 Game Shark Pro, it specifically cites GoldenEye as being one of the reasons for its popularity.
Thank goodness for Wikipedia.
I did get a PlayStation years later, PlayStation 2 maybe, but that was kind of beyond my enthrallment with console gaming.
Yeah. Oh, see, I got into PlayStation and then I got the 2 and then I think I switched to Xbox a few years ago. Just for like the ease of use with Netflix and all that stuff. But yeah, PlayStation. I was way into PlayStation.
I never did PlayStation. I had Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, GameCube. I've had every damn Nintendo console. And then I got an Xbox 360 just because for the Wii, they finally came out with Rock Band for the Wii. And I was so excited. And then I found I buy the game and I get the plastic drum kit all set up. And I realize you can't download songs for it. You're just stuck with what came on the disc. And I'm like, fuck this.
Dude, have you guys tried Rocksmith?
No, but I've heard really good things about it.
Oh my gosh, we have it. I love it so much, you guys. Yeah, it's so good. It's
Dave, isn't
good.
That what our friend Orta was using with your bass?
I think he's got my bass at his office. And in the evenings when he's done working, he sits down and plays Rocksmith.
Yes, we have it's like family Rocksmith time here.
Jamie, can you explain just the concept behind it? I'm not super familiar.
Yeah, it's basically, so we're all familiar with Rock Band, right?
Sure.
This is similar. It's got, but you use an actual guitar, not a little guitar-shaped thing with buttons. So, and it levels you up. It teaches you from very basic notes, and you watch it on the screen, and you strum when it says to strum. And so I do bass also, and my daughter does guitar, and my boyfriend also does guitar. And so you can two players, and you kind of think you play through the songs, and you can play them over and over and over, and it increases in difficulty as you improve. Like even during one song, you'll notice, you're like, oh yeah, I'm so good at this now. And then all of a sudden it gets a little harder. Like, shit, I'm not as good anymore. And it increases in complexity until you really, really, really nail the song, which is fantastic. So I love it. I love it.
I would love to challenge my own assumptions about how good I am on guitar.
Yeah, you should just get it, Dave. Like it just makes sense that you would have Rocksmith.
So when Orta plays, he plays it on his Mac, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no. I mean, we have an Xbox and a PlayStation, but we play it on Xbox when we do it. Xbox 360.
It's just a 360? It's not on the One yet?
Yeah, I don't have the One yet. I'm thinking about doing that one. Got to make the leap here pretty soon.
Well, do they have Rocksmith for the One? I guess I could just look this up.
I have to imagine they do, but if not, I still have the 360.
Because I've got the 360 still, but it's not plugged in anything, because my very good friends at Microsoft gave me an Xbox One.
Yep.
And so I plugged that in instead.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just look up. You can go to Amazon and see if they have Rocksmith for the One.
Do either of you guys spend much time playing games now?
Really just, Rocksmith. I do iPad games sometimes, but not so much. How about you, Brian?
No, I don't at all anymore.
At all?
No. Like
no games?
Almost never.
Who are you? He's so busy making real things.
I got into letterpress for a bit when it first came out. A game like that can kind of suck me in.
But no console stuff?
No, I don't own a console. I couldn't play one if I wanted to. The most video games I've played by far is the Lego Marvel at Your Place.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's awesome. That evening, Mew and Orta sat around playing. You know, I finally beat that game, and I just keep going through it. There's like a million more things to. If anybody listening out there is on the fence about getting Lego Marvel Super Heroes, I cannot recommend it strongly enough.
Oh, that's cool.
I can vouch for this, and as someone who has not paid a lot of attention at all to video games for the past practically a decade, it was pretty mind-blowing stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's a funny thing that happens when you sit, like, watching the Shadows of the Empire video. I had a clear picture in my head of what the graphics were like in that game, and then I watched the video, and I'm thinking, what the fuck happened?
It's totally different.
It looks terrible. It's all blocky. Yeah. It's terrible. This is shit. How did I ever play that? But at the time, it was, oh my God, this is so realistic.
I don't know. Atari graphics from, I was just watching YouTube. Well, I was looking up YouTube games. I was, again, and like with my boyfriend, I was like, oh, do you remember the game Combat on Atari? And he's like, no, not at all. And I was like, it made the best sound when you shoot the little thing. But so we looked it up on YouTube, and there they were, these little funny little tanks that shoot these funny little square things. It makes a great sound. Anyway, the graphics are fantastic.
I saw on Twitter today somebody posted a side-by-side of the protagonist's face from the original Wolfenstein as well as from the most recent Wolfenstein game.
Oh, God.
1992 versus this year, 2014. And it's a pretty stark difference. As you would imagine.
Things have come a long way. That's we do Grand Theft Auto a lot here in our household. Well, really? not with the kids, but yeah. No.
I was
with
very
the kids.
Concerned for just a moment.
No, I know. What kind of parent are you? My kids love Minecraft. I couldn't get into Minecraft. I think it's a great game, but
the kids love the Minecraft.
They do. My girls love it.
I don't understand the appeal, but you know, I'm also not 10 years old, so there's that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's amazing what they build, though.
John and Moltz on this week's talk show were talking about the phenomenon of their kids watching videos of people playing video games.
Yeah, that's my girls love. There are a couple of those that they follow. Yeah,
and John had said John Gruber had said that he made the realization that he watches hundreds of hours of baseball, which is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, it kind of is,
watching
right?
Watching other people play games.
I never thought of that, but yeah.
But I did feel, as I'm sitting there watching Shadows of the Empire being played by some stranger that I'll never meet and whose name I don't know, I was thinking to myself, this is really bizarre, but I don't feel like, I don't even know where I'd get a Nintendo 64 right now. I have no other way to have this experience. I can't play the game myself, and I probably wouldn't even enjoy playing it, but I just want to see it. I want to be reminded of what it was like to play it.
So do you think the people that watch so many video games actually do watch it the way that a sports fan watches their team, and that they have favorite players and they have players that they root for?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know.
That's a good question.
That's a good question. Very good question.
We got to bring in Jonas.
You think they would if they watched enough, that they would kind of tend to favor certain players over others? I don't know.
Well, they certainly have channels that they want to watch. You know what I mean? Like there are people. So in a way, that's probably it. Like my girls love I has Cupquake. Her name is Cupquake. And they love this girl. And I don't know. There are a couple others that they really like.
You know, Cupquake?
Cupquake. And she
God, that's hard
games.
To say.
Cupquake. Yep.
It just hits the ear wrong. I don't know how else to say it. It's not a real word, but no. It's not just not a real world, real word. Fuck. See, it's messing me up.
That's like that Irish wristwatch thing. Have you heard
Irish
that thing?
Wristwatch?
Yeah, you got to say that like three times, really, really fast.
Irish wristwatch, Irish wristwatch, Irish
yep.
shit.
Exactly.
Wow.
Right.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
I have a hard enough time forming regular sentences.
It's true. I'm with you.
So, Brian, are you more of a movie person, TV person, book person?
Definitely movie as well as TV. I would say movie the most. TV probably second. I've really made an effort to read a lot more in the past few years, and it's just so fucking time consuming.
And tedious. Who likes that?
I was just like, I like the line, movie the most. I'm going to just... Movie the most. That's great. Movie the most.
I'm a pretty big movie aficionado, I would say.
Have you seen I've seen the new Godzilla?
I haven't, and I would love to get your take on it without too many plot details.
Without spoilers.
Have you seen it, Jamie?
I have not. So yeah, if you spoil it, we'll both kill you.
I don't know. I don't even know how much I can say. I mean, it's a Godzilla movie. What is there to spoil?
Well, compare it to others. Yeah, and compare it to, you know, old Godzilla.
I had in my head that it was going to be a monster movie like the 2000 Godzilla or Cloverfield.
The Matthew Broderick one.
Right. Or Cloverfield or any of these modern monster movies and some of the older Godzillas. I was expecting something like that. Monster shows up, destroys the city. The military or whomever saves the day or, you know, something like that. And that's not what happened. And I was very surprised by that. That's not how things went down. It was a very different story. And I was pleasantly surprised. And in fact, I would say if there's any criticism I could lob at that movie, it is beyond the just sheer implausibility of everything that happened in it. They spent too much time on the people and like the monster action was all like in the background as people were having a conversation. It was really weird.
Hmm.
Yeah, like people discussing their personal problems, but like through a window you see Godzilla terrorizing San Francisco.
That makes me want to see it more.
Yeah, I need to see it. I
enjoyed
it. I haven't been to a movie
in a while. I love going to movies.
Yeah, so do I. I'm still a big fan of going to seeing movies in the theater, even though it's expensive and time consuming, and I'm one of the crazy people that has to get there, you know, 30 to 45 minutes early to get a good seat. Otherwise, I'm going to be cranky the whole time.
What's a good seat for you, Brian?
Just somewhere remotely in the middle of the theater.
Do you look for where the speakers are positioned and all of that?
No, definitely not. I just don't want to be all the way on one of the ends, and I'm so paranoid about that happening that I'm willing to get there obscenely early to ensure it doesn't.
Yeah. You know, there's at Lincoln Square, the theater up there, which is apparently the largest IMAX screen in the U.S., it's assigned seating.
Yeah, the only time I've benefited from that was when I saw Gravity, which it was amazing. I've never had more of a stress-free movie-going experience in my life than showing up minutes before it started and just
well, that's how I show up to everything.
Waltzing right over to my predetermined seat without a worry in the world.
It seems like the right way to do it. That's how I don't know about Europe, but in Amsterdam, the theater there, the Pathé, you go online or you show up at the kiosk and you pick out your seats and you buy your tickets and then you go and you get your popcorn and stuff and you sit down whenever you want.
There's a theater here that has recliner seats. It's really cool, really nice, and it's almost always empty, which is fantastic. But yeah, you do that. You go to the kiosk, you pick out the seat location, and then that's your assigned seat. It's very, very cool.
I'd have to imagine the only reason they don't do that everywhere is that if you went on the website to book a seat and the only seats available were the ones all the way on the end, you would probably just choose a different showtime, maybe go the next
day.
Yeah,
just not go.
But if you go all the way to the theater, maybe it was a bit of a hike for you to get there. Maybe you went with someone else and it was hard for you guys to pick a time that worked for both of you and the seats are bad. I think you're less likely to say screw it and come back later.
That's true. It's a good point, too, because, you kind of just the gamble is all right with most of the time. I do go early, though. I like the very, very back row in the middle, but I like the very, very back row. That's a great seat to me because there's nobody behind me eating popcorn in my ear.
I think it's a good way to space out. So even if it's not a popular day at that theater, like let's say you go on a Tuesday afternoon or something, it's still worth the assigned seating because you're guaranteed you're going to be able to sit in the seat that you want. And you don't have to be sitting next to somebody else. You can pick your seat based on like just being the furthest from other people you could possibly be.
Yeah. Must be nice to be able to go to the movies at 2 p.m. on a weekday.
Tuesday, I know,
right? Take an afternoon off or something.
Call in sick.
Sunday morning, great time to go see a movie too.
Those are my favorite. That's my favorite day. Sunday morning at like 10 a.m.
I love a matinee. Especially in the winter when it's really cold outside. You don't want to be outside anyway.
Your hot coffee, a movie, Sunday morning. Yep.
It's perfect.
Sunday mornings, that's when I do grocery shopping and movies.
Early. My trouble with movies is that there's always some jerk laughing or talking or like just being too loud right behind my head.
See, that's why you sit in the back row.
I guess.
See, I had a lady behind me once that was eating ice cubes the entire time.
Oh, what the fuck? Who does that?
I know. I was like, lady, please, please don't eat.
Did
ice
you say
cubes.
Something?
No, I didn't. I can't. I only had one theater confrontation in my entire life.
Did you get shot?
Did I get shot? No. I was really... This girl answered her phone. She was right in front of us.
She answered her phone?
She answered her phone and taught like really loud talking. And I... So I did say something. And I was like, excuse me, can you take that outside? It was a South Park movie, and this was in San Francisco. This is how long ago it was. But
Who answers the fucking phone?
And she turns around, though. This is the best part. She turns around, and she looks at me, and she goes, bitch. And I was just like, so I'm intensely angry now. And I go, I just lean forward, and I'm like, let's go outside right now. And then she just closed her phone and she just sat there. And then I just sat there really close with my face really close. Like I was so ready to go outside. I've never said that to anybody before. I'm not a fight picker usually, but that happened. That's a real story that happened to me one time. And then she didn't go outside. So we didn't throw it in or anything. But then a few minutes later, her and her friend just got up and left and they never came back.
That is so great. What a great story.
Dude. That was
Jamie
just,
kicking
I've
ass.
I've been so mad before. Like, I don't know. Maybe I used to get mad easier than I do now.
I'm stealing that move. Leaning in. Let's go outside right now.
I was so mad.
Because
if you
puff up and you're like, bitch, let's go outside, motherfucker. Like, that's your posturing. But if you just lean in and you're like, you're determined, like, let's go outside.
I was so serious, Dave. Point, I've never been more serious about fighting in my life. Oh, my God. Anyway.
At that point, even if you're not, at that point, like, my assumption is that you're going to murder me.
Well, it's like, and that was really the intent behind it. No, not really. But like, you know, like, why did she have to respond that way? I really did ask politely first. I was like, hey, you know, people trying to watch a movie here. Kind of rude to be having a really loud conversation. I didn't even say that much. Just like, hey, do you mind taking that outside? Like, you know, take your call outside or don't do it here.
And it's perplexing. I don't understand how people think that that's acceptable.
It's so strange. I don't know. And yeah, it was a long time ago. I don't remember when the South Park movie came out.
99.
It was when I lived in San Francisco, though. So
1999. 15 years ago. You almost beat some bitch up.
I was rough and tumble then, I guess. I've softened in my old age.
I guess. I've never threatened to beat somebody. I don't feel comfortable telling somebody to shut up. I mean, if they answer the phone, I think
either.
I would have to.
And that was it. It takes a lot to make me, because usually I try to be courteous. You know, I just try to be courteous and try to make sure other people are comfortable. And I don't know, you know, like I felt like she was being extremely inconsiderate and therefore it was necessary. Nobody else was saying anything. So I was kind of like, all right, she's directly in front of me. I'll do this. It seems like it's probably my job. And, not my spouse at the time, mind you, just me.
Right. Are you a confrontational sort of person?
Are you a fighter?
No, extremely far from it. And the last time I went to the movies, I had people talking behind me during the previews, which is fine. I think talking during the previews is acceptable, but it's not really a good foreshadowing of what you're about to expect.
Yeah.
So I was already starting to get a little fidgety and nervous, and I was so grateful that an older woman said something almost immediately. All right, guys, cut it out. Something along those lines. And they shut up immediately. And I was so grateful I didn't have to say anything myself.
Yeah, it does. It takes a lot to get me to say something.
And I get all passive aggressive or something. I don't know. I just have a hard time confronting that. Like even in my apartment, my upstairs neighbors are stompy. And the system I've worked out, I tried going up and talking to them and that did nothing. And I've tried calling the police on them. That hasn't helped. And I've tried going to the landlord. That hasn't helped. And so what I finally started doing, because I'm guessing the landlord just never even passed on the message.
Yeah.
So now what I've done is every time I hear them stomping, I just bang on the ceiling. Every time.
Dude, how do you do that? Like, is the ceiling low or do you have like a broomstick handle? Or?
I have a bubble level, a really big bubble level for hanging pictures, I guess. I don't know why I have this thing, but it's huge and it's sturdy.
For hanging your artwork.
I guess. Well, I'm really picky about things being level.
Level, yep.
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Do you measure for center line too?
Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah. Behind every picture on my walls, there's like pencil markings and stuff.
Sorry, I didn't mean to distract, but yeah.
It is genuinely there. In fact, there are two pictures sitting on my couch right now and have been there for the last 6 months because I just can't face the stress of hanging them up. Because it's like an all day event to mark the wall and measure shit. And I'm just like, I'm not ready for this yet.
It's a lot of work to hang stuff.
My lease is going to be up before I actually get these things hung up. But I bang on the ceiling with the bubble level thing. And I'll tell you, that's been the most effective thing. I do it every time. And now I go one step further. Sometimes I'll just bang on the ceiling at random. Because I'm praying that one day they come down and knock on my door.
Stop tapping on the ceiling.
Could you keep it down? Could you? Yeah. I'm glad you brought this up.
That's hilarious.
That is the definition of passive aggressive.
That is as passive aggressive I could possibly be.
Preventative tapping.
No, I think that's not passive aggressive. That's aggressively passive.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, and I make it a point because they wake me up in the morning sometimes. So I made it a point where if I'm going to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, I just bang on the ceiling a few times before I go to sleep.
Oh man, I'm trying to imagine myself in their shoes, like what they must. I don't know, like because most people don't think that they're stompy or that they're noisy or whatever. I don't think that, like, people who do that clearly aren't aware that they do that, right? Like,
well, no, they're aware. I told them.
They're aware now, but they don't believe you, Dave, or they would stop.
Well, I mean, every time they walk across their floor, they get me banging on the ceiling, and so they've either started spending less time at home, or they've started walking a little bit more softly.
Because
it's been pretty effective, and it's just good for like my feelings about the situation.
It's therapeutic.
Well, I don't feel like that
on the ceiling.
I don't feel like there's pent up aggression about it anymore. I just kind of like smile, like, oh cool, I get to bang on the ceiling now.
It's out in the open.
It's like squeezing a stress ball.
Kinda, yeah. And if I get to ruin their good night's sleep, then great.
Stress relief.
Yeah.
So what else do you guys do for stress relief? What other kinds of stress relievers are out there? Stress ball.
Drinking.
That's a big one for people, huh?
I was drinking last night. I was drinking my return to drinking after a small hiatus. And it didn't work out so well for me. I didn't nearly die or anything, but I don't feel great today.
Yeah, that's one of those unfortunate outcomes of drinking from time to time.
Brian, this was you the other night, right? Or yesterday, because you were out for the Tumblr thing.
And, yeah, we had a celebratory event on Tuesday night, which actually started at about 3 p.m., lasted till about midnight. Mm-hmm. I was very heavily considering going to the same event that you're referring to from last night, and I just couldn't pull myself to do it. But that's the difference between me now and me, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, is I can say no to things like that now. I know my limitations.
I know that I've been doing, so I say I've been avoiding drinking. The truth is I've been on a beer cleanse.
You're not usually a big beer guy.
No, I don't really drink beer, but I decided that, because beer doesn't really get me drunk, and it's heavy enough that I don't drink it very quickly, and it's a money saver, and I don't get drunk, and so it's all good news. So I decided if anytime I'm with people and they're drinking recently, I've just been drinking beer, and that way I don't end up smashed and hungover and all of the associated problems that come along with that. Last night, we wound up drinking hard liquor again. We wound up doing cocktails, and
mm-hmm.
I woke up hungover and just feeling nothing but shame.
The beer cleanse is over.
Well, nope. Now I'm back on the beer cleanse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't want to do any hard liquor again anytime.
Just a pause.
So. Yeah. Well, the thing is, even if I didn't do anything wrong, I wake up in the morning after a night of drinking and I feel like I've ruined my entire life.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh at that. It made me laugh, though. It was so extreme. I've ruined my entire life.
You just wake up with this like sense of shame and dread. You haven't even done anything.
It compounds as the day goes on, too, as you are less and less productive than you'd like to be. It's 3 p.m. and I'm still not operating at 100% capacity. What's wrong with me?
Yeah. It would help if I'd gotten any sleep last night. So there's this whole weird, crazy thing that happened.
Upstairs neighbors stomping on the floor. keeping you up?
No, this was just me, because if I drink too much, then I have a hard time sleeping, which is sort of the opposite of what you would hope for when you drink too much. At least you may be hungover, but at least you got plenty of sleep, you would hope. No, I went to bed at like maybe 3:34. I woke up at 7:30. And it's been a rough day. I've not felt my best. You guys have any hangover rituals?
Bloody Mary?
Yeah, water. Lots of water.
So hair of the dog and hydration. Those are solid.
Hot shower, that's cup of coffee.
Coffee.
I guess those are all pretty cliche responses.
Well, we were supposed to record this at noon, and that didn't work out. Mostly my fault. But I've had to drag myself out of bed and force myself to even just get this far to sit down and do the show.
At noon or at this second shot? Thank you for rescheduling, by the way, Brian.
Oh, not a problem whatsoever.
It was doing the one at noon. So getting myself out of bed, getting over here to sit down and do the show. Luckily, I had planned ahead and I bought a Kind bar on my way home last night.
What is a Kind bar? Why don't I know about a Kind bar?
It's like a protein granola bar kind of thing, mm-hmm. but it's made with nuts.
Gotcha.
Pretty good. There's chocolate involved. Yeah.
Did it help the hangover?
Oh, God. It's the only reason I'm standing right now. Well, sitting, but I was just a mess. I was a wreck. And I just shoved that into my face real quick before I started up Skype. And within minutes, I felt 100 times better.
Boy, we'll have to try that again sometime, this noon call.
Are you trying to kill me?
No, I just want to experience that. I think that everybody would like to experience what that is like with you, Dave.
Talking to me at noon?
Yeah, talking to you at noon with a severe hangover.
And 3 hours of sleep.
3 hours of sleep, exactly.
That sounds like a pretty ringing endorsement for Kind bars, though. Have you gotten any strange podcast sponsor solicitations?
Back when Lex was handling sponsorship, we had, they actually did sponsor the show, the bidet company, the Lux bidet company, which is why I have one.
That's funny.
And I did. Finally, once I got here, I installed the thing. And it's interesting.
I think I remember seeing that when I was at your place.
It's a bizarre kind of thing to see attached to somebody's toilet. And I feel like I should put a sign up.
What kind of sign? What would the sign say?
The thing on the toilet is a bidet. Here's how you use it.
User experience.
I have it for these reasons.
Like, just hang up an FAQ, you know?
Yep. I think you should do it. And then post the photo.
Here's what you're probably thinking. Here's what you're probably wondering. Let me just address it right now.
It's hilarious.
I'll put an iPad in there, and when you go into the bathroom, it'll be on a motion sensor. It'll just start auto-playing a video.
Here's what it is. Make sure you get really fantastic background music.
You should just play the sponsor read.
Even better.